things were like, what happened, and what they're like now is Dean. Thank you very much, Dean.
Hello everyone, my name's Dino and I'm an alcoholic.
Hello Dino.
It's a lovely beer tonight, and thanks Manny for asking me to share. And you know, what a change, someone asking me to come and share my experience, Strength and Hope, you know, unheard of really, and that's what I've been given in this fellowship. You know, when I first came around, there was people doing that for me, and I didn't realise what they were giving me, what they were giving away. I didn't realise what I was going to receive if I listened, you know, when I first came in. Because, and I'd like to thank for the welcome I got tonight as well, because wherever I go in AA, I can go around the country and the doors are open for me, you know, and you know me and I know you. I've never had that in my life, you know. So I go back, when I came into the... I came in and all I saw was the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, well people, helpful people, too helpful in my mind, I had to work everything out, why these people were bending over backwards to see how I was, see where I'd come from, and see, they just interested in my welfare, and that spooked me, because the life I led, it was unknown, you know. And that happened week in, week out. It wasn't a one-off thing. And I saw the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, go back on myself and try to work everything out in 10 minutes like I've done all my life. And things started to become apparent that there was more to AA than met the eye each week. Some more unfolded if I let it, if I didn't do my old trick and try and smash something in 10 minutes, work it out, and then move on. And something kept me... I don't know what it was. At the time, I felt hopeless, but I couldn't have said to you, looked you in the eye and said I was powerless, because I still had my old ideas. Didn't know it at the time, but my then sponsor did. He could see it's a mile off, and... I took some breaking down. I hope if you're new tonight or you've still got that resistance, that you just give in. Because I've had, through my own experience, sitting in meetings and smiling, doing what I've got to do, telling everyone everything's all right, employers, friends, sponsor, loved ones, girlfriends, and really, really sitting in pain in a big meeting, a healthy meeting, and I tell you, there's no worse a place to be. But you or me, or put yourself there, it doesn't have to be that way. Honesty was what I lacked for quite a few times of my sobriety. I was sober, but I didn't have freedom. I weren't a free man. I was sober, but I wasn't free. And, you know, a bit deep early on in my share, but until till I got honest and opened up and let down that front, nothing started to happen, really. You know, I can go through the steps, I can take inventory, I can pray every day, but if I'm not being honest with one man, crucially honest with my thinking, my actions, nothing's going to change. Nothing, and that was my case, and it cost me, a few relapses, you know, because that pain of holding stuff was just tremendous, absolutely tremendous. And, you know, I'll go back to when I was a privileged kid. I had a great upbringing, great education. And for all intents and purposes, alcoholic life weren't on the cards. You know, Irish Catholic family, religious upbringing. It wasn't drummed into me. It was a healthy, lifestyle, really. Always just done enough. C-grade student to keep everyone off my back. And I'd just do enough in life. and that got me through. You know, it came to a point where the things I was getting weren't what I wanted. You know, I've heard this so many times in AA, but this is me. My dad had worked 7 days a week, nights, for me to do extra maths lessons because I was slacking in school. It wouldn't give a damn. I'd just look through the teacher and be thinking where I'd be going after this. She's giving me this tuition. You know, Christmas had come. He'd work his fingers to the bone. And, you know, he'd present me with a Christmas present, whether it be a snooker table, a bike, or the latest thing. I'd play with it for half hour, and then I'd quietly pull him to one side and tell him what he should have bought me. Now, that was me to a T. Ungrateful, selfish, to the core. But yet, parents being parents, they'd trip over themselves to please me, to being an only child, you know. And I went through life like that. Things had pleased me for so long. I'd cane them, I'd use them, lose interest, and then look for the next fix, if you like. And then alcohol would come along and blew me away, brought colour to my life, brought imagine. It just fired me up. You know, I often say it, I felt like Adrian Mole, but when I had alcohol, I was like John Travolta. It brought that, it brought that spark. But, you know, the day came when it turned its head on me. It stopped doing what it said on the tin. The love affair was coming to an end. And I used alcohol essentially for the effect produced, like it says in the book. Not because I liked the taste, not because I liked, you know, in the end, it was my functioning. I needed alcohol to anaesthetise me from the pressures of life. And they came, which they do for all normal folk. But, you know, and I think I heard Sam say it as well, or someone said it at a meeting the other week, no one likes to be told we're mentally wired up from our folks, from our fellows, mentally different from our fellows. And I was one of them people, baffled, because I tried it every other way, you know, like many of us have here. And I put my whole heart into these methods of turning my life around, you know. And I heard it all through my life. You know, she's such a sweet girl, can't you do it for her? And, you know, because I'm in the book, that's why I don't quote the book, but I can match my inconsistencies in my travels with that book. That's why I know I'm an alcoholic, the hopeless variety described in that text, and there's no getting away from it. You know, page by page, I'm in there. You know, I never chose to be, but thank God I found that book and my group that lives by the book and the traditions, you know. And again, time after time, I'd get taken back to that next drink. It didn't matter whose heart I broke, who, you know, what happened, what I did. I had this mental inconsistency that, you know, I'd get led back. The insanity, you know, without a program, without direction in my life, without sponsorship, without leadership and example, I know I'm designed to self-destruct. I will drink or use other substances to anaesthetise the way I feel. That is the way I'm wired up, you know. And it was explained to me, you know, I suffer from an illness that centres in my mind. Regardless of the exterior things going on, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's good, bad, sad, ugly. It doesn't matter. I will always, always turn back to alcohol, or in my case, drugs as well, you know. But yet, for years I looked around and I saw others taking drink with impunity. I'd go out with my dad and we'd drink a couple of pints and we were watching a football, and I had a brilliant job in the MI5 building with him, and he got it for me. I don't know how he got it for me, but he'd look at me with fear and he'd say, "Don't do it again tonight, son, please," with all sincerity. And I'd look at him and I'd say, what are you talking about? And I could not see the truth, the false from the truth. I couldn't, and he knew what was going to happen. And again, he'd been trying to wake me up the next morning and said, "You've done it again. Why do you keep doing this?" And I couldn't answer him, you know. And it wasn't until I reached Alcoholics Anonymous and it was explained. You know, it was explained to me in great detail of what I suffered from. And once I could identify, and I did so strongly with that book, of, you know, the mental inconsistencies of Bill and Bob and their stories and the doctor's opinion so strongly, that how could I not see the solution that followed? You know, when you're in that mire and you read yourself in a book and then they present a solution to you, something switched on to me that I looked around, that there was people that latched onto this. Why couldn't I have it? Why could I not have what you've got? And I was told, if you're willing to go to any lengths to do this, you can have it. And where I was then, I looked at what I had. I'd just come out of a treatment centre. I had two back bags, you know, and I saw these people with hope. And they were willing to help me. But I was told, there's price that's got to be paid. And I thought, here we go, here's the catch. And I thought, you know, I've got to sort of out some money or something. And he said, no, you've got to go against the grain. You've got to be willing to go to any lengths. And I was asked directly, are you willing? And I was out of choices, really. And I said, yes. Didn't know what was going to be expected of me. But I'd had friends in this room and they'd got well. And I thought, well, they've been unharmed and they've got a good life. I said, yes, I'm willing to go to any lengths. And explain my self-centeredness and my, you know, my selfish, it has to be smashed. It has to be smashed. And how do I do that? Because I am self-centered and selfish to the core, even today. But through going through this program, I've been handed tools. Don't always latch onto them straight away, to my detriment. But when I do, I'm a free man, you know? And what are they? Because life is life. And I mean, I look around my group and I've got examples that have had tragedies, breakups, and just family, real big stuff. And I see them marching through, helping others, reaching out with dignity. Even when they're, you know, the human body can take so much, alcoholic or non-alcoholic. And I see these people helping people, of friends, helping people with a bit of pride and dignity and selfless, you know, and that drives me on. And when I have my problems, I can learn from that, you know, and it puts my situations in perspective, you know. And I've been given a fantastic life in AA, but my biggest problem is self, you know. When I'm in Dino, I'm locked in. I'm going to go deeper. I can't break out of that unless I use what I've been given, you know. Do I want to help that newcomer? Or do I want to go deeper into Dino? Do I want to meet someone who I said I'd meet, you know, and tell them my experience? Do I want them to take them to a meeting? You know, do I want to get to my own group at 6:30, thank you, and help set up? Or do I want to just stand around doing nothing? Can I be of use, you know? Can I get involved in service? Yes, I can. There's plenty for us to do. There's so much in this fellowship needs doing, you know. I can often be lethargic. I'm quite a lazy person. I work, I graft, but my thinking's lazy. You know, my thinking is very lazy. And thank God my sponsor knows my character. And he often emphasises how, not to me personally, but how dare we not get excited about what we've got. You know, I've come from a trembling wreck, 7 months ago, drinking myself to death. You know, I went through the work again with my sponsor. And I tell you what, I'm on top of the world. This, you know, I've been in the fellowship 6 years, and, you know, it's not wasted. It's not wasted, because my experience can benefit others, you know, and it has done. And I don't say that to my experience is my experience. But the last 7 months have been explosive, absolutely explosive. I feel alive. I feel free again through being grounded, taking direction. Not that I always want to do it, but when I do it, I feel like tenfold better, you know. And infantry, so important that I look at myself, my conduct. You know, I never looked at anything I did throughout my whole life. I was you. It all comes back to me. It's all what I do, you know. And can I correct it? Can I move on? Today's done. Let's move on. Tomorrow's a different day. What can I do tomorrow better that I didn't do today? I was always thinking about yesterday and always thinking about Friday and missing Tuesday. Today I can try and get grounded and live in Tuesday, you know. And I've had a fantastic sober day today. I really have. I can say that from my heart, you know. What I've done today is I've been free. I haven't raised anyone from the dead, but I haven't harmed anyone. I've tried to be useful. You know, I've done my suggestions. I've connected with my higher power today on a few occasions. You know, indecision and hurry. Today I was caught up in something and I took 5 minutes out. I wasn't floating, but I was clear-minded. You know, I was going to ring my sponsor, but I made a decision. And I trust my decisions today, but I can think my higher power's telling me what I want. You know, I need guidance on the ground. If I think I've got this one way line with my higher power, I'm in trouble. Bang in trouble. I need someone with experience on the ground who stood by me shoulder to shoulder, you know, all through my sobriety, my recovery. He's been with me shoulder to shoulder through thick and thin, you know, and he can only relay his experience to me. Sometimes my mind will say, no, you've got this one wrong. But I've never said it. I've always let his suggested actions prevail, and he's never done me wrong. He's never done me wrong. And I've never had that in my life, because it was always Dino's way, always, throughout my life. And then the consequences I'd live with because of my actions. And my actions were never really that good. My mind thought they were good, but when I played them out, it was never good, you know. Today, I took my step free, and my life is in God's hands. I totally believe. I've got faith, totally faith. And from a two-bit thug loser who self will run riot, who trampled all over you, someone giving my will over every morning, and realizing that it's not my game today, my life is so much easier. I'm free. I feel free. And all I can do is try and improve, you know, on a daily basis. And, I feel buzzing to be here. And I'm a lucky man to be alive. And if you're new, just grasp onto this. Listen to the people that have gone before you, because they're not leading you up the garden path. They want you to have what they've experienced. And it's here tonight.